And that he's got slichus, he got other things. Okay, we're continuing in the Tanya. We're on page Tov Kuf Yud Tes, near the top. We're talking about a person doing things because they love and fear Hashem. Okay? And there's no other ulterior motives, and that makes that avodah so much more special versus people who do things out of habit and they're just used to doing this. So he explains, he comes with a very big chiddush at the end, which is very comforting for us. He says, Ki kamoshein adam oise dover bishvil chavero lemalos ritzona elem kein ohavo yorimenu. Just like a person will not do something for his friend, to do what his friend wants, unless he really loves him or is really in awe of him. So too, it's impossible to do things totally for altruistic reasons for Hashem, just to fulfill the will of Hashem. That's all. It's impossible just for that reason. Without a remembering, to arouse that love and fear of Hashem. Klal b'mach b'moichay u'machshavto v'talumos luibo al kopanim. If you don't have that arousal of love and fear at all in your mind and in your thoughts and in the recesses of your hearts, you will not serve Hashem for altruistic reasons. It's got to be only because of love and fear. That's what you have. That's the only way you could do things lishma. Explains the commentary. Kishain etzlo kol hargosha shalava v'yir. If there's no feeling of love or fear, harein siba loma yirtza v'yim unyan l'mal ritzon shel kodesh baruch hu. You have no reason. Why would you want to be interested in fulfilling the wishes of Hashem if you don't fear and love Him? V'kiven she'en lishma. And if it's not lishma, what did we say last week? Lo porcha la'ela. Those mitzvahs don't go up to Shemayim. And more than that, Vegam continues the Tanya, Vegam avo levado, and love alone, ena nikris b'shem avoda, is not really considered avoda, below yira tato lepachos, without at least a lower level of fear. Which is, what did we say? That's the natural one. She musuteris belev kol yisrael, that is hidden in every Jew, as we will write later on, says the commentary. Listen, if you love Hashem and you're going to do it, it's for the sake of Hashem, isn't it? If you love Him, we love Hashem, we love you. So why are you doing it? I'm doing it for Hashem if I love Him. So you'd think that would be enough to make it lishma. You want to fulfill Hashem's will. But there still has to be yira. Why? Because remember, this is called avoida. This is called service to Hashem. Service has to be arezadavka kishayesh yira. There has to be yira. L'chol apochas, at least yira tato, the lower level of fear. Hamesuteres belev kol yisrael. That, what did we call that? That instinctive fear that's in the heart, that's hidden in the recesses, the heart of every Jew. What does avoda mean? He ke'eved oved es adono. It's a master who serves, a servant who serves his master. Shavoda so be ikar mitoch yiras adono. What, I mean, when a servant serves a master, what's the primary focus? Is his fear. K'mon shispar l'kamen, as we will explain later on in chapter 41 at great length. So, in other words, you know, listen, you love someone, okay, but you don't really feel, you know, you have to do it. You know, you want to do it. What if you fall out of love tomorrow? All right? So there's got to be a sense of, now really, fear does not mean the fear that you're shaking in your boots, yeah, but it means being aware of His presence all the time. That He's there, He's on top of you, He's watching you, He's there, and therefore you would be ashamed to do something that's not proper. This is your master. You do what your master asks you to do. He could be a good master, so you'll love your master. But you have to have a real love, plus at least an instinctual fear of Hashem to make your avodas Hashem proper, and those are the wings that allow those mitzvahs to ascend to Shemayim.
Okay, wouldn't respect be a more appropriate word?
Well, that's more than respect.
Because it's fear. When you say fear, it implies that you really
if you've ever gone to see a Rebbe and had a yechidus with Rebbe, you know what I'm talking about.
It's a lot
fear.
Of respect.
Yeah. No, it's fear.
The awe and the awe.
It's awe. You're afraid. You're afraid.
Fear.
You know, respect means okay. I respect him. This is like you're overwhelmed by his presence, and you feel that you're not worthy to even be in his presence, and you'd be afraid to move your hand in the wrong direction to say something you shouldn't say, you know. You're very much aware of the greatness of the incredible presence in front of you, and you act that way.
Like we've said, another word for that.
Well, that's what it is. Again, like we said, the mushroom. Let's say you're a good math teacher and you're teaching your class, and in the middle of your class walks in Einstein. He wants to observe your class. You're finished. You can't give the class. You can't give the class. What's he gonna? He's gonna question everything I'm doing. I'm totally inadequate compared to the one who's over here. What am I doing over here? You should be giving the class. You know, and you might say something wrong. You're just totally aware. When you're totally aware of an awesome presence in front of you, you are totally nullified. Okay, it's not that you're afraid he's gonna hit you. It's you're just totally overwhelmed. It's not just a question of respect. Respect does not cripple a person. This mamish cripples a person almost. I'd be so afraid to do something wrong. We'd be so afraid to make a mistake in the math equation if he would be there. And even what you're doing, you think is right. You may think, oh no, he's probably looking at it, and I'm probably doing a terrible job, and etc. etc. So however you want to define it, that's Yira. And that's how you have to look at Hashem in front of you as such. Now, that's what you have to have. Now, what about the opposite? What if you're engaged in this activity, mamish shalolishma, which means, l'shum eza piniya, you're doing it for some other motive. Should it be lechvod atzmo? Let's say for his own honor, gon lios talmud chacham. Let's say he'll be a scholar, he'll be respected. Ukahai governor, something similar to that. Osa paniya shemitzada klipa de noga mislavesh b'terasa, or that ulterior motive that comes from the illuminated klipa that's enclosed in the Torah. That Torah is considered in a state of galus within that klipa at that time, as we'll talk about more in subsequent chapters. Ad asher yasa tshuva, until he does tshuva for that, shemeviya refua lo'olam, that brings healing to the world. Shebeshuva l'Hashem, because if a person does tshuva, gam toirasa shava yimo, his Torah returns with him. And now he gives a beautiful spin on the statement of the Chazal. The rabbis say, La'adam yasek adam shalolishma shemitoch shalolishma bolishma. A person should always engage in learning Torah for ulterior reasons, because eventually the ulterior reasons will turn into altruistic reasons. So the common shot we always give is that, and it's also true on a certain level, is that, you know, there's got to be something in it for you if you want to get motivated. And then once you start doing it in a way that just, you feel there's something in it for you, after a while you will see that the Torah is so beautiful, you don't need anything anymore for it. You know, a child, when they're little, they need prizes to learn. But after a while, the learning is so beautiful, the person grows up and he doesn't need any more of these things. But you got to overcome the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara says, I want to play, I want to have fun. Torah is not fun. Okay, so we'll put some Shalol Lishma in so that you'll able to at least come to the table. And then after a while, you learn Torah. You know, I see this with, you know, some of my sons that initially had to give them all kinds of rewards to get them to learn more. And now they're not interested in rewards. They just want to learn. Because they see how beautiful it is, and they're doing it lishma. That's the classical interpretation. However, he learns a much deeper pshat. he says, Bevadai, this is certainly why. Shebevadai, what's going to certainly happen? We know that the Rambam says, because the Torah says, that the world will ultimately do tshuva. You know, tshuva is not just a mitzvah. It says, in this week's parsha, it says, when you will do tshuva. It's a prophecy. The Jewish people will do tshuva. I don't know about every single Jew, but those who are, you know, the ones that are totally secular who fall off the planet, I don't know. But the ones who, they're in the game, but they struggle, and the Yetzirah, you know, gives them problems, but they're in the game. But eventually, we'll all do tshuva. So we're all going to do tshuva. Shebevada sofolas is tshuva. Now, when is it going to be? Look how he says, begilgulze, either in this lifetime, or begilgulacher, in another lifetime. So, but eventually, you're going to do tshuva. So if you're going to do, why? Ki lo yidach mimenu nidach. There will not be pushed away, any pushed away people. In other words, no Jew will ever be lost. In this world, could be. Could be this in this world, a Jew will be lost. But another time around, he'll come back and he'll do tshuva. Certainly that neshama will eventually do tshuva. So when you do tshuva, so what happens to that Torah that you learned shalom lishma? That Torah comes back with you also. That's what he's saying. Commentary explains, if there was someone for a certain amount of time who was pushed away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he will not be totally pushed away. Why? Because he will eventually do tshuva. And therefore, even though the Torah that he learned now, in a not good state, lo rak shelo pir chaleila. We said what? It does not only doesn't fly up. Elo od yoredes begolus b'tochlivus goes into exile amongst the klipas. Mikol mokum still and all. Kivin shesof olasas tshuva. Since at the end of the day, he's ultimately going to do tshuva. V'lalos is that Torah l'kedusha will bring that Torah back to holiness. Tzarchu gam atolasador. So he still should learn Torah. In other words, a person says, you know, I don't get it. I've been trying for a while, and I still learn Shalom Lishma. I don't really do it because this is the will of Hashem. I do it because I enjoy it. I do it because whatever reason, but I'm not really doing it, you know, because I love Hashem. I don't even sense Hashem. I'm having trouble with it, but, you know, I'm used to Daf Yomi, and I want to learn Daf Yomi. There's social pressure to learn, and the rabbi's bugging me, so I go. Okay, so he's saying, so what's the point? I'm never going to reach Lishma. I know myself. And maybe you won't. So says the Tanya, learn anyway. Now, of course, you have to realize that doesn't mean if he is a terrible sinner and an apostate, because then he'll use that Torah as a weapon for destruction. But a regular Jew who's a card-carrying Orthodox Jew and he learns Torah, but he knows, I know, I'm not learning Lishma. I don't, in fact, I don't know anything Lishma. So the Yeser would say, so you're not learning Lishma already, and you're sending the Torah into the Klipas Nogi, it'd be a better mitzvah not to learn at all. So the Tanya is saying, learn anyway. La'olam, la'olam, the Gemara starts off saying, la'olam yasakon dosha. Always! Even if you know till your dying day you're going to be Shalom Lishma. You should still do it. Why? Because you know what? You're going to get recycled for sure anyway. And when you're recycled, you know what? And eventually you're going to get to tshuva, and that Torah from the previous lifetime is going to come back.
Aren't we out of recycling?
It's not for us to say if we're out of recycling. It's not for us to worry. But every Jew has to realize he still learned Torah even as a novel pshat. Should always, that's the oilam is a very good pshat, because you really wonder, why is it loilam? Loilam, shouldn't you eventually stop? Shouldn't you? What do you mean, loyal? It should say the person should. Yasak oilam. My loyalam. Loyalam. Forever. What do you mean forever? Forever. Forever. Shalom Lishma. When does it get to Shalom? When it is forever Shalom Lishma, how does it ever get to Lishma? Okay, there's other Hasidic rebbes who have different pshatim over there. But his pshat is very simple. For the rest of your life, just learn Torah. Even if it's Lishma until your dying day. Because it'll still, something will come back at the end. Turn the page. Now this is, so he's going to say there's really three levels here. So far we seem to have two levels, but we really have three levels. We have Lishma, you're doing it mamish for Hashem. You love Hashem, you fear Hashem, you're doing it mamish for Hashem. We have ulterior motives. I'm not doing it for Hashem, I'm doing it for me. But now there's an in-between level. Next page. Ah, kesheisha stam. What do you do with stam? Stam means without thinking. Lo lishma. You're not doing it because you love and fear Hashem. V'lo shelo lishma. And it's not for ulterior motives. In other words, it's not. You just do it because you do it. You know, the average Jew goes to Daf Yomi. Okay, why do you go to Yomi? Well, I was inspired once. Go to Daf Yomi. You know, people become creatures of habit. You know, it's a good thing. Daf Yomi is a good thing. Do you love Hashem? When you feel loving Hashem, you do the Daf Yomi. No, I'm so tired tomorrow. I don't. Do you do it because you have an ulterior motive? You think one day you're going to be a rabbi? No. You think you get a lot of covet? No. So why do you do it? You know, I don't know why. I do it because a frum Jew should do it. That's all. Because everybody does it in my shul. No, everybody does it in my shul. So you're going to get something for this, a covet for this? You're going to get some. You get paid to do this? Are you in the Dirshu program where they pay you for just coming to learn? And you need the money? No, I don't even need the money. I just do it. I got in this habit of doing it. So what do we call that? That's stam. It's not lishma. It's not shalol lishma. It's garnished. In other words, you don't really have any thoughts about it. Look at this. Ein hadavar tolui b'tshuva. You don't have to do tshuva on this. Because you need tshuva for shalol lishma. But without any, you don't need tshuva. So what happens? Look at this. Here's the saving grace and beautiful thing to learn on this last Friday of the year. Elamiyad shechayzer v'lo merdavar zeh lishma. But as immediately, if you return and learn this lishma, you start learning lishma. That's even without tshuva, but you're learning lishma now because you love Hashem. Although it's hard to say that that's not tshuva. Doing things because you love Hashem, that's part and parcel of tshuva, so you have to understand what the Rebbe means. But are gamash shalom the stam? Therefore, all the stam learning that you did, mischaber, becomes connected, umitztarev, and again, it connects, lelimud zeh, to this learning, upircha leila, and it flies up. Why? Because it wasn't in the klipas yet. And therefore, a person should always learn Torah. You know, shalol lishma. So now I can learn another pshat in shalol lishma. Shalol lishma, there's two ways you can learn shalol lishma. Shalol lishma means not for the sake of Hashem, but for ulterior motives. Or shalol lishma means I'm lacking lishma. When it says you're learning Torah, lishma means I'm doing it for the sake of Hashem. That's a positive. So what's shalol lishma? Shalol lishma has double meaning. It means it's not with the positive. So what is it? Could be with the negative. I'm doing it for myself. That's mamish. That's shalol lishma mamish. Then a shalol lishma, I'm lacking the positive, but I don't have any ulterior motives either. It's the middle ground. It's nishtahi nishtaher. I'm really not thinking at all about my learning. I don't plan on accomplishing anything with my learning. Not the will of Hashem and not my own will. So that's awesome. So you should always learn Torah. Lishma, shemitoch shebo lishma, mitoch shebo, mitoch shebo, shalol lishma, that from the shalol lishma, you know what? One day, bo lishma. One day, you may have one day you do it because you love Hashem. And when you have that day, when you do it, you know, the shalol lishma mamish, then the Torah is incarcerated in the klipas. Oh, to get out of that, you need real tshuva, man. Real tshuva to break out of that. It ain't going anywhere if you don't do real tshuva. And you got to totally change that. But if you just stop, don't think anything, so the Torah's just sitting on the couch over there. You know, just sitting on the couch. It's waiting for you to sit and learn mamish because you love Hashem. I love you. I love you. Mamish. And now that's going right up. That's going right. And once it's going up, it says, hey, come here. Come on my back. Come with me. It comes up together as well. And then he adds one more whopper of a line. So is the same story when you daven without kavana, as the Zohar writes. What does he mean? Let's see the last commentary. Hatshuva hi, when why do you normally need tshuva? Hi lahasir inin shalra, is to remove something that's bad. Tshuva has to remove. It's like you have a dirty shirt. Tshuva is like cleaning a dirty shirt. You have a dirty shirt. And that's the klipa. That's the klipa. That's the bad thoughts. I'm learning Torah for my own selfish reasons. Now that is a bad thought. If you're learning for some ulterior motive, then the Torah is in the exile in that klipa. Which is not that it's just missing the lishma of Hashem. No, it's a negative. You're doing it for yourself. You need tshuva, because that's a selfish learning of Torah. It's taking God's holy Torah. It's like stealing it almost. So now you need real tshuva. You got to say, I'm sorry I learned shelo lishma. I'm sorry I learned to be a baal gaiva. You know, you got to rectify the wrongs. Okay, then that breaks the klipa. Then you start learning lishma, and then you could it could come with you. But avol b'leimet stam v'lo l'shem pnei. But he's just learning stam. He wasn't thinking at all. Hari ain't can klipa. There's no klipa. There's nothing evil. But you're missing the positive point, which is halimud lishma, learning Torah for the sake of learning. Shelachein lo par chalei. That's why it hasn't flown up. Ulazem for this. Mahani mashachozer v'lomer dover zelishma will help that which he changes back and he learns something lishma. He says dover zeh. Maybe there be the same Gemara, maybe even, but dover zeh. He adds words dover zeh. Uba oifen zeh. This way, bavade pashut hatam loma loyalim yasik. Now we know why for sure. You should always learn shalol lishma, because no matter what, if it's only shalol lishma, what? That it's what? That it is with no thought at all? You should always learn without even thinking lishma, because it's all piling up. It's all piling. It's just waiting for a lishma moment. You know, it's like, you know what it is? It's like a zero. It's like a zero. It's your, when you learn, you're trying to score. Trying to score. So let's say you're learning Torah lishma, mamish. You go anywhere from 1 to 1,000,000 with a score like that, depending how good your learning is. Feeling shalol lishma, mamish, you're doing it only because I want to get honor, it's a negative. It's a negative. Torah says that the Torah is samtem. You should place the words of the Torah is samtem. Gemara says it's a samtam. It's a medicine. So what does it mean? A medicine, so people who use medicine properly, it's a good thing. If you use medicine improperly, it's a bad thing. Torah can be a death vial for someone who doesn't learn it properly. So when you're learning Torah, when you're taking Hashem's Torah for not good reasons, that it's a negative. You got a negative on there. Well, how do you deal with a negative? A negative, you got to get rid of the minus sign. Got to get rid of the minus sign. Got to undo the negative. You got to undo the damage. You have to do real tshuva. And then you bring it back to a zero. You bring it back to a zero. Now, what if you learn Torah without thinking at all? It's all chid garnished. It's a zero. Ah, so mamish, you've been going through your life, you have thousands of zeros. A thousand zeros, right? Now one day, he goes, I'm going to learn Torah Lishma mamish. I'm going to mamish. You know what that is? Even if it's a one, you put a one in front of a lot of zeros, is a sach. It's a lot. Putting that one before the zeros is a lot. And then he adds, and this is our saving grace. First of all, this is already a saving grace. I mean, really, before you learn, you should be thinking how much you love Hashem before, how much you fear Hashem. I'm learning Hashem's Torah. You know how I'm afraid if I would make a mistake in what I'm learning? What if I say the wrong pshat? What if I learn the wrong halacha? I'm terrified to make a mistake. That's what you're afraid of. Can you imagine a chemist who's mixing all kinds of things, and if you take a little bit too much, a little too little, you could blow yourself up. Aren't you afraid? What are you afraid of? Afraid of I have to give it, right? So if you learn mamish just because you love Hashem, so now you took everything with you. V'chein b'tvila shalom b'kavona. So it is davening without kavona. Oy, how much davening we have without kavona all year long? Do we really pay attention to every single word? Do we feel we're in front of Hashem? Are we overcome with awe and fear and love? We get distracted so many times, it's ridiculous over a whole year. Can you even say you had one good tefillah a whole year? Who knows? So you can be very depressed. So why should I bother davening? Why should I bother davening? You know, when I was younger, and you know, there was a struggle to my teen years to daven every day. You know, there's friends, there's ball games. You come home, you forgot there was Marv. It's at 12 o'clock at night. Your mom is exhausted. You remember you didn't do Marv. I always would push myself. And I said to myself, I intuitively, I didn't have, wasn't a scholar at the time. I intuitively said, you know what, even if I have zero kavona, I should still daven. That's what I said. I should still daven. Because, you know, I did it because if I'll ever stop once, then I'll stop a second time, a third time, a fourth time, before you know what else. Once you allow a once to stop, I said, I can't, even if I have I know I have zero kavona, I'm dead tired. I'm mumbling the words. I know this is a despicable one, but I said, I'm just going to do it anyway. So now we're zoicha to see it wasn't a waste. He said, "Kishmispal pa machas tefillah." If one time you daven with kavona, real kavona, hari mitstarf esalzeh hatefillah shispal below kavona. All the tefillahs that you davened without kavona, porchal eilin, they fly up into shemayim. So that's a big. Now it doesn't mean oh now good now I can keep going. I'll wait till I'm almost dead. I'll wait till I'm almost dead. I'll get a good one. But at least you're coming now. It's mamish erev Rosh Hashanah. It's mamish coming to the last Shabbos of the year, and Sunday is going to Saturday night already is the last day of the year. So they give a beautiful mashal. I don't remember who said. I just saw it in the sefer. The sefer Dorash Tov. It's an amazing sefer. It just came out for Rosh Hashanah and Elul. It's in Hebrew. So he gives the following mashal to a king who wants to make a big celebration. And to make this big celebration, he wants at the table should be something of a magnificent, ornament. You know, the most that will take everybody's breath away. And they said, who should we hire? I said, well, there's a tremendous goldsmith, and he can mamish make beautiful articles, you know, goblets, and this, like, unbelievable. So they call him into the king. The king says, listen, I'm making a big party, and I want to have a beautiful centerpiece, like mamish, something out of gold, jewels, whatever you want. The storehouse is open for whatever you need. How much time do you think you need to do it? Guy says, well, something of such a nature, I probably need about 6 months. So the king says, you know what? I'll give you a year. I'll pay you a good salary. And I'm going to give you whatever you want, you know, within reason, you know, whatever you need to make this beautiful thing. And I want you to make the most beautiful decorative thing imaginable. It's fine. So he goes home to his wife. He says, listen, dear, pack our bags. We're going for that great trip around the world that I always promised you. Because the king has offered me this great deal. You know, the truth of the matter is, it only takes me 3 months to do it. But I told him 6 to be on the safe side. And he gave me a whole year. And he's paying me. So you know what? We're going to go and live it up. For the next 9 months, we're going to live it up. Because I only need 3 months. And I'm getting paid so much money. Well, you know what happens. You take the money, you start going, and then you start getting used to the nouveau riche life. So then what does he do? He goes to the treasury. He says, I need a few gold bars for what I'm making. But he didn't do it for that. He went and sold it and used it for that. And he got himself into debt. It's mamish. And he had it. And then he comes back after the 3 months. After 9 months, he's got debts. He has to go back and get more gold. And the guy says, it's a lot of gold. Well, it's a very, very choshuvah thing I'm making over here, this and that. Anyway, he says, I got to start thinking about this. But still, he's still used to having some fun. Then it's coming like a month before. And then the agent of the king says, you know, I think I should come to the guy a month before and see how things are going. The guy says, well, you know, it's a month ago. How are things going? He says, don't worry, but you know, it'll all be done. But now he's really nervous because he needs 3 months and he doesn't have 3 months. He only has 1 month. What's he going to do? So he goes back to the treasury. He says, I need a little more. He says, what? You need a little more? Do you know how much we got on record? You could already make. He says, no, I just need a few more pitchifkas, you know, a few more, just a little bit more gold because there's a few more little trims and this and that and a few diamonds. It's just a finishing off job. He couldn't ask for more. So now he really works hard. And for 1 month, he mamish, but how much does he have? So he was planning on making an enormous goblet, like a king, like a a 3-gallon goblet, you know, the most exquisite. So what does he do? So for 1 month, he works on making a very, very little, a small goblet, but it's mamish, mamish gorgeous. So comes the day, the king says, okay, here's a chayim, I want to see what you did. So before he comes, he says, I better make this look good. So he takes it, he wraps it up in beautiful cellophane and on a box. And then on top of that, another cellophane and another box and another cellophane, another box. So Zoy Grois, the box. He comes to the king with this big box. He says, ooh, wow, look at this box. So then what happens? The king opens up the box. What's the gefind? Noch a box. He opens up. And then finally, this little box. You know, like when you make kiddush at home, and they got these like little eight little kiddush things. And when you pour the thing, and you got this one little mini cup. It's a mini cup. And the king says, "What's this? This is the item." He says, "What are you talking about? This is the item. This is garnished." He says, "Wait a minute, Your Majesty. Before you make any decision, really take a look at the workmanship. Really look at it." Gets over the fact it's little. He looks and mamish is like shaped and curved and this and embossed with this and that. It's mamish gorgeous. And show it to your ministers. And all going, wow, this is like mamish gorgeous. It's something going with it. The king says, but Lamaisa, I got a table, a Zoy Grois. No one's even going to say, hey, what's going on over here? He says, okay, you know, I got to tell you the truth. I can't lie to you. I wasn't the greatest guy, I'll tell you. I blew the money. I'm honest. I really blew the money. And really, the king should be totally upset with me, and you should throw the book at me, and you should everything I'm asking. But you know, finally, the last month, coming to mein Gedanken, I finally came to what I really feel sorry, and I put my best effort in this last month. I'm honest. And you know what this is? This is what we'd call a miniature prototype. You know, if you give me another year, I'll really, really work, and I'm going to make you the most beautiful one. The king says, you know what? I see you feel bad. I see what you really can do. Okay, I'll let you do it again. So it's the same thing. Come to the last day of the year. His mom is the last Shabbos of the year. And the king gave you a whole year to give him Shabbos. Give you a whole year to daven and a whole year to learn. He's expecting a beautiful, beautiful 365 days of davening. You know what this is? It's like mamish is what it's. It's coming to Rosh Hashanah now. Coming to Rosh Hashanah. What do we got to show before our Kodesh Baruch Hu? Mamish, we go flying around the whole world. I have this holiday vacation. I got this vacation, that vacation. This thing I have to spend money on. That thing I have to spend money on. This sporting event. This, that. We're coming mamish to the end. And mamish are tittering. He's going to ask to see the goblet. He's going to ask to see it. What do we got to show? So what do we do on the last Shabbos, on the last Erev Rosh Hashanah? We work our hardest to make the most beautiful goblet. To make a miniature thing. So at least when we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to say, where is everything? He says, well, look what I just brought to you. So the last day, if you mamish can daven with kavona, mamish kavona, try the every tefillah mamish with kavona. All your learning should mamish be lishma. Your Shabbos should be totally, totally the way a Shabbos should be. Then at least, as you have a promise from the Tzar, then all of a sudden, all the tefillahs from the year. This is a bargain. This is bargain deal time. And you know, the Sutton knows it. So he's going to make everything he can to mess up this last Shabbos for you. He's going to try to get you angry on Erev Shabbos because he knows what's riding on this Shabbos. You can fix up 52 Shabbos, 51 Shabboses with this Shabbos, man. Come on, time to davening, and you mamish, you learn. You know, learning on Shabbos is the most important thing. Well, he's going to mamish, you're going to have guests, you're going to have this, you're going to have that, because he knows, but not this Shabbos, not. He says, you know, okay, how about next Shabbos? Next Shabbos, you can do all you want, but next Shabbos, maybe next year, it's too late. The king already sold what you had. See, but the Tzar says, with your Torah, and certainly with your tefillah, and certainly with your mitzvahs, to mamish, do it mamish lishma, not stam, mamish, I love you. And if you don't love Hashem, you say, I know I should love you, and I'm doing because I'm supposed to love you, and look how hard I'm trying. Then you mamish can chaperein the whole year. We can mamish chaperayin, and we can mamish. Hashem should give us mamish eksiva v'chasima toiva. Amen.